Welcome to the Filthy Spoon Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Robert.
Let's get to the sponsors. Willow Creek Custom Calls, old Brad Jones down there. I guess he's selling a lot of calls more expected than this time of year, he said. I talked to him the other day, and he's spinning them out left and right. But if I were you, I'd get on it. No promo code anymore, but I definitely want to let that stop you. He's got his innovative Brant call, snowblower call, Cali Spec, Mallard calls, honker calls, everything under the sun you can think of. And he's got some cool stuff coming out here later this summer that's probably going to be, I think, around Duck Day should be announced. And he will also have a booth down there at Marsh Days, and he has been gracious enough to invite us to come on June 1st at Grizzly Island. We will be there at the Willow Creek Custom Calls booth, so come by and say hi. So look old Brad up at willowcreekcustomcalls.com or give him a call at 510-610-7625. And Superior Equipment Repair for all your truck equipment needs, big trucks, little trucks, F-550s down to 150s, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, Caterpillar equipment, Volvo equipment, whatever you got, John Deere, we work on it all. So you can look us up at superiorequipmentrepair.com or call us at 833-343-7351. And like I say, we're busy, but we'll make time for you, so give us a call. And if you haven't seen any techs running around town asking for stickers, because most of them got Filthy Spoon stickers, so if you're listening, see them, flag them down, get some free shit. So anyway, on to Pinto Ridge Taxidermy, old Adam Oliver. We love the guy. It was finally good to get him on here. We've been blabbing about it for almost a year, and we finally got it done. And we have another name going in our hat today on our lucky winner that's going to win a mounted bird, whoever wins at Duck Days this year when we announce who the winner is. So that'll be cool. Look Pinto Ridge Taxidermy up on Instagram at Pinto Ridge Taxidermy. So great guy. Look at some of his cool stuff. And then last but not least, the official Left Coast waterfowl, the Turd Jeremy's over there, the Bro Jeremy and the Ginger Jeremy. Well, they just come out this week with a kind of a cool camo pattern I've seen. Check them out on Instagram. It looks like an oak tree, so it'd be the perfect like hoodie to wear if you're turkey hunting and you're sitting up against the oak tree, because it just kind of blends right in. It's cool-looking pattern that Jeremy come up with, and hopefully he sells the hell out of them. So look them up at officialleftcoastwaterfowl.com or follow them on Instagram at officialleftcoastwaterfowl. And for 10% off, you can use LCW10. So with that being said, what's up, Robert?
Well, we should introduce our guests. We have with us today Ryan from Coughlin Craft Butchery.
All right.
And you can find him at on Instagram at Coughlin Craft Butchery. So we're here in beautiful Sacramento area.
Beautiful day down here for sure.
Yeah, no, really nice day. And Ryan was kind enough to build us quite the spread.
Yeah, a little wild game spread for you guys.
Yeah, no, it kicked ass. We're going to get some pictures up on Instagram to show all you guys. But no, he went all out for us. I mean, I feel like I'm in a French villa somewhere sitting, man. It was great. And we're not done eating yet. We took a little, poke at it, but we're not far from being done. But it was great. Why don't you explain a little bit? They can't see it, but what you did with, because we brought you some ducks down last week.
Right. So I started out with legs of your teal, did a little confit, which is you simmer them submerged in fat, and you bake it for about 2 hours after you cure it, and then you fry them up crispy.
Ah, they were great. So, yeah. Man. Little bitty teal legs. You'd sit there and chomp on them all day, man.
Right.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, I was really impressed by that.
We got some duck lumpia, oryx and chanterelle bologna. What else I get for you? Some duck chorizo sticks. We got some cherry port duck sausage, wild boar ham, and did some dry aged speck and a sprig for you.
Yeah.
So I salted it and hung it for a couple days, and then I roasted it nice and slow till the skin gets crispy, kind of Spanish style.
It's so cool, and you don't have like any super high tech gadgets. You're just doing this with all like stuff the way done hundreds of years, probably.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Classic techniques. Just an oven, really. Oven and a fridge. You can do a lot.
I'm impressed. I mean, it just, yeah, this is cool as hell. Like I say, it feels like I'm sitting in Paris or friggin' Venice or something, you know, it's cool.
Well, you're even very cultured today. You're drinking wine.
Yeah, I even had some wine. Yeah, that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, the last 2 weekends, look, you're moving up in this world. You're having cocktails, you're having wine. You're having fancy food.
I'm going to work myself off my own tier system here at this point.
Yeah, you're about to be middle class.
Yeah, man. What the hell, man?
Oh, the duck prosciutto too, huh?
Yeah, that was
pretty good.
Yeah, everything was awesome, yeah. And I mean, we're far from done eating it, but I wanted to get talking because this is just exciting, you know. Curtis, who most of you listeners know by now, you know, he's finally on and you've heard about him in the background. He actually brings birds to you, right?
Yep, Curtis.
And then, and Maury, who was on the show.
Right. Some of my first customers.
Really?
Yeah, really got me going in this. I did a wild game on the side just as a side gig because I enjoyed doing it. Been doing it for myself, and I know the food culture with wild game and hunters has been evolving pretty fast in the States here, and really want to spearhead that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're at the forefront of it in this area, you know.
Right.
It's awesome, and, you know, you got... So tell us a little bit about how you grew up, how it came to be. You know, hunt, obviously, and then not just wild game, but, you know, farm stuff.
Right. So, yeah, my family's been farming for centuries. So I grew up out in West Sac before it got developed, and obviously there's a lot of good hunting out there, especially, you know, rabbits and ducks and whatnot. So, you know, really got into that young. When I was Christmas, when I was 5, my dad played Jeremiah Johnson, and that was it. You know, just been shooting for that. You know, through my childhood, and really helped evolve the, you know, my cooking of all my game.
Did your dad cook a lot too?
Yeah, he cooked a lot. For being a farm boy from Iowa, he really got into the cooking. And
really,
I think he learned a lot from his college roommates. You know, came from New Jersey or wherever, Italians.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah. That's all just been trickling down to me. I grew up in West Sac and just hunting rabbits mostly.
Yeah.
You know, frogs, whatever. I'll eat whatever.
Yeah.
We did. You know, I'd hit a possum and I'd pull over, pick it up, and make possum pie.
Really?
Or, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Raccoon and baked beans.
Really?
Stuff, you know, anything I could eat. The rule was if you kill it, you cook it.
Yeah.
So
that's.
We even eating skunk. Yeah. Not bad.
Really?
Really not bad. Yeah. If you know how to remove the glands, it's just like rabbit.
Really?
Yeah. Just a little sweeter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever cooked up a coot?
Coot? Oh, yeah. So I've been working on it. I'm trying to make it a little more palatable for everybody. And I was reaching out to have guys drop coots off to me, but it just didn't really line up this season. But,
yeah.
You know, I think if I cure them and age them out, it'd be pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I know there's guys that do it, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next year, we'll work on that. We can do a coot episode.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah, I'd be willing to try it. I've had coot jerky before. It tastes exactly like mud. But, I mean, it was literally friggin' breasted out, thrown in a smoker.
Right. I've only heard the old recipe where you put a brick in it and you braise it in wine all day and then you throw the coot away and eat the brick.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So, yeah, you grew up hunting that way, and like you say, you don't do traditional type duck hunting. You're more wandering around. And
right, yeah, I like to follow the rivers and be a little more secluded and find a bend where the ducks will cut the corner, and I drop them out in the field.
Yeah, that's a cool way to do it. You know? And not a lot of other people out there doing it.
No, I won't see anybody out there all day.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's my favorite way to hunt. Last time I went to somewhere public – I seen some guys run into the ditch in their car. They're so excited to get out there, and people shooting at everything. And you know,
it takes a little bit of the shine off of it for sure. Yeah. I agree,
because right.
You know, it's so competitive and so go go go, and you know, the skyscraping. Yeah, it can definitely turn a guy off from hunting. Right. You know,
those are the Duck Dynasty days where everybody.
Oh yeah, everybody in the world became a duck hunter those years. Yeah,
that was the worst thing for hunting.
It seems that way. I mean,
well, it seems like the numbers still are. Not going up, though.
Yeah. As a whole, they're not going up.
Yeah.
But, look at on our way over here, places that I used to have a rice blind right off that road we're talking about is probably going to get developed.
Yep.
So
habitat loss is huge, man.
Right.
And this, you know, I'm all, you know, it's fine building neighborhoods, whatever, but you gotta do something to provide recreation. People need stuff to do, man. Build another refuge.
We need some more refuges. Yeah. I agree with that for sure. For sure. So, I mean, this is your full-time job now.
Yeah. I've spent the last 2 years just networking and kind of building up my craft and my recipes. And now I'm building out a shop out in Galt.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
We're going to have livestock on site. We're going to have slaughter on site, processing butcher shop, cut and wrap, and do livestock and wild game.
I think that thing will take off.
Oh, yeah.
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 When do you expect that to be up and functional?
I have an event going on in May with Delfino Farms in Placerville and Cannon Isaac, the restaurant. We're doing a little snout to tail, so I hope to launch off of that event.
Oh.
So May 18th.
Oh.
I'd like to be open right after that.
Oh, that'll
it's
be cool.
It's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, that'll be here before you know it. Yeah.
Right. I got 6 weeks to kind of build it out here. So, you know, it's an old dairy farm. So the milk tank room is perfect for a butcher shop, and the milking room is perfect for a kill floor. So
that'll be cool. So it's probably a fairly old building and stuff.
Right.
Probably got some, you know, looks cool as hell.
It's clean. Plenty of room for the livestock to hang out. We got hay operation. We get free truckloads of produce to feed.
Yeah,
it's just really coming together.
Oh, that is so cool. We'll definitely have to come out and check that out when we get rolling. Yeah.
Well, we'll be hopefully bringing some game down.
Yeah, here. Yeah. We might be bringing you a turkey down by then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. 2 weeks. I hope I'm getting a turkey. We'll see.
Yeah, well,
I got a good spot, but last year I got skunked. We'll see how it goes this year. But
well, last year you had the worst hunting year of your life.
The whole year.
Yeah.
Start to finish. Yeah.
Turkey, dove.
Yeah. Let's relive that again. Yeah. Yeah. Blew up my side by side. Walked 100 miles. Yeah. Yeah. A lesser man would have gave it all up after my year of hunting last year.
Not a podcast here.
Yeah. The first year we launched the podcast, they were the biggest loser hunters of all. Yeah, pretty funny, man. But so you probably don't get a chance to hunt that much right now because you're...
Right. Not too much lately. Every once in a while, I'll try to get out for squirrel because I won't see a lot of hunters when I'm out for squirrel either.
No.
I think it's the best tasting game meat.
I've never hunted squirrel. Have you, John?
Yeah.
You have? Of course
not
you
with
have.
Much success, but yeah.
Perfect. You even suck at squirrel hunting.
Yeah. Now, what do you use, like a 22 or a shotgun?
Depends where I'm hunting, but I'll use a shotgun or a 22, and I'll make all sorts of stuff out of that.
I'm sure, yeah. I can't remember. I know I shot a couple of them when I was younger, but I don't even remember her. I mean, I know we ate them, but I don't remember. I was with, like, my older brother.
Right.
And I don't remember what the hell they threw it in a pot with, but
you got to get it a little altitude where the good pine nuts are and that fresh water, and it really shines in the meat. So that's what you're tasting is whatever they're eating. And down here, it's a little weedy and, you know, same with the turkeys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you just go up in the Sierra somewhere?
Sierra Pacific land, whatever, and. Hop a fence and get in there and take the beagle, and we'll just wander around all day and get my limit. And
what is the limit of squirrels?
Last time I hunted, I think it was 4.
Really?
4 day, yep.
Yeah, you don't see a ton of squirrel hunters. There's some Asian guys that do it, I know that. But don't see a ton of squirrels. Or rabbits, you know. A lot of the small game is just something that a lot of people just don't pay attention to anymore.
That's my favorite game.
Yeah, that's cool. You don't got to get rabbits everywhere.
Everybody, growing up, everyone's like, you can't eat jackrabbit. Mm-hmm. Do you want to bet? I'd be making jackrabbit pot pies in high school.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We make squirrel teriyaki bowls, dove teriyaki bowls. I'd roast them whole with the skin on. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That sounds good.
I even got people that would never touch the stuff. They'd be eating my pizza. And it'd be, snow goose and squirrel pizza. And
That is cool, man. So, it sounds like you've been doing this basically your whole life. Just something you've been enthralled with.
Right. The charcuterie's new. That's about 3 years I've been doing charcuterie. Yeah. That prosciutto's about 2 years old that you ate today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Really? It started off, I did some beaver hunting years ago, and they were eating some young almond trees out in Dixon. So,
really?
Yeah, it's it tasted amazing.
I hear Beaver's really good.
Yeah, especially when they're eating almond trees all day. You know?
Yeah.
We made some pâtés, rillettes, and the Beaver salami I aged out for about 2 years. That was
incredible. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What about the tails? I heard you could eat the tails.
It's mostly fat. You can.
I mean, you can eat anything.
If you like eating fat,
yeah.
You ever do any snakes?
I've done snakes. Not my favorite. You don't get a lot out of it. And you can also, if not handled well, you can get salmonella. Yeah, reptiles are kind of tricky if you don't know what you're doing. I love frog.
Frog ain't bad.
Yeah, out in Alberta off the Levee Road when I was younger, we used to go frog gigging quite a bit. Yeah. We were out in Nelson Slough.
Using the sticks and everything?
Oh, yeah, gigging.
Yeah.
And just follow the beer cans back.
Perfect, man. Why can't I hunt? Yeah.
Remember we were hunting one time on and found one of your beer cans.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. That was a big gap between when that beer can got there and when we found it.
Yeah. So I did pick it up. It might have been 3 weeks later or a month later, but I picked it up. Yeah. That was funny.
It was a couple. Yeah, it was at least a month.
Yeah. Yeah, we're scouting.
Yeah, John leaves a beer can trail everywhere.
Yeah, that's
goes.
How I find where I'm going. Yeah, that's how we found our place. That way back to your place today. Yeah, a little tricky getting down here. But no, that's cooler. It's cooler than hell that you're going to open that place up. So, are you going to have like eventually maybe like people go down there and like have food to order and stuff?
We'll see. That's tricky.
Yeah.
And then I got to, you know,
gotta get the health department. Right. And probably a bunch of hoops to jump through.
Eventually, you know, things are really going to evolve. I'm hoping to get a shop open in Sacramento eventually where we can do that.
Okay.
But that's years down the line from now. Yeah. Especially since we're going to be doing USDA slaughter in the only ones in the Sacramento area. I think that's going to take up a lot of my time.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. The only one in Sacramento.
Yep. You know, we got this motto forced upon us for farm to fork capital or whatever. And I don't believe it. So I'm going to make it happen.
That's cool. You
know, 20 minutes from city center. We're going to have the farm and everything available.
That is cool, man. That place will be crawling with hipsters on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll have livestock available for those in the suburbs that can't raise their own animals.
Yeah.
You know, they can, when we have babies, come down, pick one out and we'll raise it up.
That is cool.
Bring the kids every weekend. You know,
come visit.
Do some farm work.
Dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. That's a good way. It's people that live in these little neighborhoods down there. Robert's always talking about how he couldn't handle ever living like this. And this is a good way for people to, you know, that because you got to live where you can, you know.
Right.
So it's, you know what, unfortunately, everybody can't live on a farm.
Right. Yeah, you can't be picky these days.
No, exactly. You know, everybody all want 40 acres and a mule, but that just ain't in the cards no more, you know. But that is really cool for some of these, you know, inner suburban kids to be able to go out and raise their own animal like that and then see it come to, you know, and have it the whole cycle of life and slaughter. Right. And
use it all, you know. We use just about everything, you know, even the organs, the offal, whatnot, will make you dog food.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That is cool. Yeah. I love that about the fact that you use everything like that. I mean, like these little teal legs, so many people just chuck them. I mean, those are great.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah. You know, and then you said, I prefer you to bring whole birds because you'll take the carcasses and cook them down for stock.
Right. Yep. The duck pho stock is kind of the hit right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is so cool. I love seeing the whole bird. Like, old Dortry and Garth would be loving every bit of this. I hope you're listening, guys, because they're the same way guys we had on the podcast a while back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sean's a big chef himself.
Yeah. He does a lot of cool cooking. Stuff. And, right. Yeah, they do a lot of cool stuff, and they're really into not wasting it, and I love that. That's super cool. Yeah.
He seems like he does a lot of cooking in the bags, those hot water bags.
Yeah.
Those sous vide. Baths,
Yep, I do a lot of that, too.
Yeah. So he said it's great, then it's just ready to go. You basically warm it up, and it's good to go whenever. He says,
That boar ham, that wild boar ham was sous vide. I just cure it, throw it in the bag, sous vide it, and you leave it in there for about a week to cure in its own aspic, and that's Parisian style. And it comes out so much better.
Really?
You know?
That is so cool. And,
well, speaking of that, so you've been to France.
Yeah, I've been to France. I haven't been to Paris. It kind of went off the beaten path. I wanted to be in the countryside. So we flew into Barcelona, got a car, and drove up into the south of Spain, into the farm country there along the coast, and it was pretty amazing.
That is cool.
Was that kind of the primary motivation was for the food? To-
It was a late honeymoon / food adventure. And, yeah. I really recommend Toulouse over Paris. You know, you get a better food culture, a little more laid back, and none of the crime.
Yeah, yeah. I hear Paris has gotten kind of rough here the last few years. What year did you go do this?
This was actually last November. I did France and Spain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can buy wild game at the butcher shops there.
Really?
Yeah. You can get rabbits. They call them conies.
Yeah.
Little game birds. You know, I was getting little game birds when I went to Portugal a few years ago at the butcher shop.
So there has to be some kind of hunting culture left then for that to happen.
Tons. Everybody's hunting mushrooms, hunting rabbits, really? Hunting ducks. And they, you know, at the end of the day, they cook a 5-star meal and have a nice bottle of wine and then back to farming the next day.
That's cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I wonder how the regulations work over there.
Well, I bet Ramsey's been there.
Yeah, he probably has. He's been everywhere. Yeah. I know, like, in Scotland and stuff, they self-regulate. The hunters are, like, what regulates the limits and everything.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're preserving your own. And I think they're a little more responsible over here. You would have, you know, a bunch of friggin' rednecks. Oh, hunter bird limit. You know, but I think they're a little more cultured over there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they are limited on their land, so exactly. They really have to take care of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because people have been over there a lot longer than over here. And so, yeah, they're not nearly the open space, I would think.
They grew up with a different food culture, too, different, you know, respect for it, I think, and it really it shows.
Yeah, there's no Walmarts over there. They go, like, to the local little, you go to the butcher shop, you get your vegetables here. They kind of eat like that, if how
I heard. We went to a discount grocery store in France, and we got 2 full bags of groceries. It was less than $20, and it was some of the best stuff I've ever. It was better than Nugget, Whole Foods, anything I've had here, yeah. It's pretty disappointing to come back I think we went to the Nugget the first week we got back. It was like a half a bag of groceries was $120.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, I love the good old USA, and we do a hell of a lot right. But there's a few things like that we can learn from the homeland, the old motherland, I guess. The kind of way they live. You know, I don't think there's any Walmarts over there.
No.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. It's different. But, you know, there's a lot of people working towards it here.
Yeah, no, there's definitely what you're doing. This is kind of all over, you know. I can't remember his name, but there's a guy similar to what you do. You think he's from Southern California on the CWA podcast recently. Does the same kind of stuff you do, and it's kind of nice to see it getting a little more mainstream.
Right. Yeah, I think Hank Shaw had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
And he was a Sacramento local for a long time. Yeah. He's up in Minnesota now. But
I saw that, on
Instagram. Yeah, I was working at the feed store in Rio Linda growing up, and he'd come in for his hay bales for archery practice. And I'd, you know, talk to him a little bit. And, you know, then it got me to, you know, I had suckerfish in the creek on the ranch I was living in. So we're making fried suckerfish cakes and all sorts of stuff. Pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah. So he had a little bit of influence on you doing this stuff too, huh?
Right. Yeah. Back in the early days, him and, you know, those travel shows with Andrew Zimmern and Anthony Bourdain and all that, you know, they go hunting and some of them.
Yeah. I always thought that was cool. And it, you know, us, as when I say us, Robert and I, but hunters as a whole, we're always wanting our passion for this hunting to be accepted by, you know, mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great way to a lot of people that may not want to go hunting themselves, but they can appreciate the food aspect of it. And they go, maybe it ain't so bad, those guys out there hunting, you know?
Right, yeah. I've had a lot of vegans and vegetarians just root me on.
That is cool.
Yeah, because they appreciate it. Because, you know, you have to have some kind of respect for it and make people appreciate it and not be wasteful and give back. So
Yeah, you know, and that's good that there's some, you know, level-headed people on kind of that side of things that can understand that, hey, you know, I might not want to go out and do this, and I might not want to eat meat, but I can understand the importance of it, and it's good, fresh food, and they're okay with it, and they're not voting against it one day, you know.
Right, right. And they're not listening to all the misinformation put out there by certain organizations, and, you know, it's important.
Yeah.
Hunting's important.
It is, I agree, and it's, like I say, you're doing the Lord's work out here, making it, you know, kind of mainstream, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That being said, I want some of you hunters out there to start hunting more bear.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. Yeah.
Well, I got a bear hunter for you. I'm gonna pass your info along to him for sure.
Yeah. Well, Gribbles, I think, was a bear hunter. I don't know how successful he ever was, but.
So, what do you love about the bear?
The bacon. The bacon and the ham is just incredible, especially if you're hunting bear around any apple orchards or vineyards, they're just eating fruit all day, and it pops in the meat. And you get a lot of meat, you know.
Yeah.
It's worth the hunt.
That's there's a lot of meat.
Yeah, and if you handle it right, everything comes out amazing. A lot of people just don't be hunting bear that's eating salmon.
Really?
It gets into the fat. The salmon oils get in the fat, and it tastes fishy.
Oh, really? That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, be careful where and when you're hunting bear, but otherwise it's an amazing protein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people don't always pay attention, but I know a spot out in Nevada City where kind of my old stomping grounds. It used to be a ditch tender's house. That's long gone. But he had a little orchard in his backyard, and there's like six or seven apple trees in there in the middle of the forest.
Right.
And there's bears there all the time, you know. And, you know, but you got to kind of pay attention to be able to see that. You'd never know there was a house there. Somebody told me, oh, yeah, way back when there. And you can see kind of, okay, that makes sense, and this is where his orchard was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's bears there. And so there's stuff like that all over from ditch tenders and miners and –
Right, there's a old homestead from the Gold Rush I used to hunt because they had six apple trees there, and those apple trees and a rotten fence is all that's left. But that's where the bears go. Yeah. Up in Forest Hill, I know some of the guys back there and know where the pear trees are from the same situation, and it's a bear magnet.
That's cool. And like growing up, I grew up in the foothills, and we're out in the woods. There's more trees, and you start paying. Wow, there was actually somebody that this was their home for how many ever years, and you know the little bit of remnants of it, and it's a good spot to try to find a bear because now that you can't use dogs to hunt them no more, it's a little bit tougher, you know.
Right. Yeah. Just find some water and be there at sunset. You'll get something.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of bears around. I mean, we're walking into stores in Tahoe and stuff. So.
Yeah, you're going to have to get your side-by-side rocking and rolling before you can go shoot a bear.
I don't know if I want to shoot a bear, man. I hear they cry like a human when you shoot them.
Really?
I've heard horror stories. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for guys doing it. That might sound kind of weird coming out of a heartless bastard like me, but I don't know if I have any desire to freaking and shoot a bear.
I knew a guy once that he was a hunter, but he had a soft spot for dove. I'm like,
really?
Dove? That's weird. I don't know. I never... he thought that was kind of like... He's like, I don't know if I can do it anymore. He's like, I kind of feel bad for him. I'm like, really? Dove?
That's kind of
weird.
That's
interesting.
Biblical or something, you know?
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, they pair up. You only get one, and the other one's just heartbroken.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the lonesome dove sound. Yeah. I'll tell you, the older I get, I think about a lot of that crap. Like, I love it when we come in with a whole group of specs and we knock them all out. Because I think about it. It is a living being, you know.
Right.
Sorry we just smoked your husband, you know. So, I don't know. The older I get, it's just stuff I never thought about. But
And more cultured you get. Look at you. Two weekends in a row of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be off that tier system. But, you know, another year of doing this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly, man. Yeah, I'm going to trade in my truck on a foreign car. And, yeah, no more overalls for me. Yep.
I only feel bad until I taste it.
Yeah, I don't mean to get too hippy-dippy, but, yeah, it's going to a good cause, and we're the top of the food chain for a reason. So, you know, it's the way it is. But, I just think it's neat as hell what you're doing, and it just, like I mentioned earlier, like I don't want to say primitive, but I mean, it ain't like you have all this super fancy high-tech stuff. You're doing it with very traditional.
No. Even when I break cattle or pigs, you know, I use a handsaw and two knives, and I can do better than most places, yeah.
Really?
Yep. Just European butchery really got me there.
And how did you learn about that?
So, I mean, I've been butchering my own stuff for a long time. You know, I always did my own livestock and whatever, but it really needed refining. So I worked at a shop in Sac for about a year and a half as the sausage guy. And working with those butchers and them wanting to learn more, you know, right here in the sunroom, we would get carcass in here and spend an afternoon improving and, you know, finding better
ways to do it.
Better and more efficient methods, and without power tools, you don't need a bandsaw.
Yeah,
really? You know, a lot of places rely on the bandsaw, but you don't need it. And I could do it almost just as fast, bone in.
That's impressive.
So,
now what? Oh no, keep going. Sorry.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to bring to the table here is, you know, some actual old fashioned butchery.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that'll be neat. Yeah, so you'll be able to, you're going to have like a little viewing window where they're watching you cut up meat and stuff?
Well, we'll have it where people can come in and, you know, if they really want to. And I, you know, I'll take on a few apprentices here and there so we can keep it going.
That's,
you know,
smart, yeah.
A lot of the old guys are retiring and their kids want nothing to do with it. And,
yeah.
So, I mean, and there's a lot of local butchers here that are looking for the same thing. Yeah. You know, I've really networked pretty deep into the...
Yeah, you know, sounded, yeah, this wasn't something willy-nilly thing you threw together.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, this took a lot of time, and it just met the right people, and, you know, you all have to have the same vision.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think it's great.
Are you seeing like, a lot of younger folks wanting to get cut into this?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Tons. I got an 18-year-old from one of the pig farms I work with I'm probably going to take on.
Cool.
Really, you know, make a career out of it.
That's cool. This is definitely an art that needs to keep going, you know.
Yeah. And it always needs to be improved and worked upon. You know, I'm not perfect. There's better guys than me, but, you know, trying my best.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Keep striving to be better, you know.
I mean, I'm, you know, like most of us, we've had a lot of wild game throughout our years. And I would say this is probably some of the best stuff I've ever had.
I would have to agree.
Yeah,
this is, by far, this is some of the best stuff I've ever had. And I don't want to say it's simple, not like to talk down on it, but I just love the fact that you're just using super traditional type stuff, and it's good, you know?
Yeah. The less ingredients, the better, I found, you know, not too many spices. You really want things to really come out. A lot of it's just salt and technique.
Yeah. Right. What do they always say? Keep it simple, stupid. You know, and that's.
Now, what about, because, you know, for me with the ducks, I like, you know, I don't mind taking them places when I want them whole, because I'll get, I don't know, this sounds kind of lame, but like my hands will start hurting when I'm cleaning them, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have a plucker, right? So when you just hand pluck a couple ducks, by, like, you know, third duck, your hand, I'm like, dude, this sucks. Uh-huh. Do you have a plucker, or what do you?
No,
you do it by hand.
Most of my guys bring them to me already pre-plucked.
Good.
But the way I grew up doing it, I go in the garage, get a trash bag out, chair, bucket of ice water for my hands.
Yeah.
And I put on some music, I get a drink, and I just pluck away and dunk my hands in the ice water every once in a while, get the swelling down, and I get back to it. And before I knew it, you're done, and it's not too bad. So I always kept my birds whole.
Yeah.
Just doing that, even chickens, whatever, you know, that's how we did it.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool. I know Curtis brings you just the whole duck, feathers and everything, don't he?
Every once in a while, you know, I prefer people, you know.
Bring them plucked.
I got this old cookbook from the White House from like the 1800s, and they would age the birds, guts in, feathers on for weeks. And I think it says in the book, when the anus turns discolored and green, it's time to pluck and gut.
Yikes.
But, you know.
I've heard that too. I was like, on Ramsey's side, they're plucking, they'll hang them by the beak until the head falls off.
In France, you'll see old pictures of the butcher shop. The whole chickens and ducks, whatever, pheasants are hanging in front of the butcher shop hole.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to it.
There's something to it, yeah. You know? I mean, I've had aged steaks before and stuff, you know. It seems, you know, to the way we live now, like, oh, that ain't right. But there's something to it, you know.
There is, yeah. I just got back from the Philippines a few months ago, and the best thing I ate was grilled chicken intestines.
Really?
You know, yeah. It surprised the hell out of me, but they really hose them out.
Yeah.
They boil them in something to clean it up a little bit, and then they put it on a skewer and put a little glaze on it and crisp them up. It's the best piece of chicken I ever had.
That is crazy.
I didn't know they did that.
And I know you only get, you know, about 10 to 12 inches of intestines out of a bird, but I think these ducks probably be pretty good.
So you're going to try doing some duck
intestines? Oh, yeah, next year I think I'll be doing duck intestines.
That's crazy. I think it's neater than hell. I mean, like, I know them friggin' Cajun, them Coon-ass guys down there in Louisiana, they do that. They eat friggin' everything.
All of it, you know. You know, what we call, you know, head to tail up here is kind of a joke.
Yeah, really, compared to them, they're eating everything down there. Freaking taking, like, scraping the meat off the face of ducks. And,
duck tongues are delicious.
You think they eat the feet?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Chinese people eat the feet. A lot of Chinese
people. The duck
people.
Feet, they do? Yeah. I know chicken feet folks eat.
Yeah.
All of it. Though, feet makes the best stock.
Really?
Yeah. It's got all that good collagen and, you know, all the goodies in there. Yeah. Makes it nice and, you know, it'll turn to jelly. It'll harden up when you cool it.
Really?
Yeah.
And like, say you're in the Philippines, because I know that they have, I mean, they eat everything.
So, you know, they eat similar to us. They just cook it a different way. They eat farm animals. They don't eat dogs and cats. You know?
Oh, they don't know. The Philippines?
They probably have a lot of Spanish influence.
Actually, their dogs are pretty highly revered there. Oh. You know, they used to be like their spirit guides. And when a dog died, they'd have a funeral and whatnot. Yeah. So they really care about dogs.
Oh, those are your type of people, John.
Yeah, exactly.
Until the Spanish came and kind of tried to get them to knock it off. But, you know, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't beat that out of the culture. That's cool. Yeah. I had no idea. Well, who eats dogs? Chinese?
Korean, yeah. Chinese, Vietnamese, Indonesian. But it's more, I think it's more out of necessity than... You know, just wanting to eat them. That's what they got. I know in parts of Russia, they didn't have food, and that's what they served at the hospital. They just pick up the strays. So,
right, yeah, people, you do what you got to do, man.
Right. You talk shit until you're hungry. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I'm not going to look down on anybody.
Did you have horse when you were in France?
I really looked, but even the French aren't. They're kind of pulling back, but in Italy, they're still eating horse, and I wish they'd let us do it here because there's a horse problem in Nevada.
Yeah, and there's nothing being done about that.
No, they're eating everything up, and the native wildlife's suffering pretty hard from it. So
yeah, because a horse, you see a horse, you put a horse in a pasture, that's going to be dirt in no time. You know?
Right.
Cattle's way easier on the ground than horses.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, we're moving the equipment up there back in my old job for the Sparks, the Teslon battery plant. And, it's just they had to put fences up to keep the horses out, and they all had gas belly and, starving.
Yeah, I know they got that wild horse program. They try to get, horse enthusiasts to go capture them.
Yeah, good luck. How many people are going to do that? Yeah.
Right, yeah. There's not a... And the people taking horses, most of them can't afford it, so... Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they live forever.
Yeah, that too. They live to 30 friggin' years old. Yeah, that don't help matters.
It's a lifelong vet bill.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how that damn duck intestine comes out, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of brave when it comes to trying stuff. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, I'd give it a shot.
I give everything a shot. Yeah.
We know.
if you saw it, I think you'd want it. You know, it looked pretty good. We went to the street food fairs, and we went out in the province and the country, and they just serving, they call it helmet for the chicken head, Adidas for the feet, Esau is the intestines, pretty good stuff. They have quail all over. They're eating quail eggs.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of that they do like, it's like a hush puppy with a hard-boiled quail egg inside. It's pretty good.
Really?
Called quay quay.
That's cool. So you've been all over. You've been to Spain, France.
Portugal.
Yeah.
Philippines. And we'll see what's next.
Now, I recommend Mexico. Yeah. I just got back from Mexico, so I love it down there. But they eat some wacky stuff down there too.
I like to do South Korea for their beef industry. They got a good model there for high quality beef, and their beef carcass auctions are pretty impressive. So I'd like to end game here to have a beef carcass auction similar to that.
And, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
the ranch my daughter Sharon, before she went in the Navy, she worked on a ranch in Biggs. And they raised all beef for Wagyu.
Yeah.
Yeah, which kind of surprised me, but that's all those cows were.
Yeah.
Of course, the cheap bastard never sent her home with any, but but I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah, right in the middle of California, Wagyu beef.
Yeah, people aren't scared to try here, so, you see a lot of that stuff popping up.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I think the Mangalisa pigs and the Cooney's took off a little too much.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The people try all kinds of stuff here, and we're all into the organic rice. That's become quite a big deal. One of our customers is a huge organic rice farmer. That Lindbergh, you've heard of them. They're in the supermarkets. They were on CWA's podcast a couple of weeks ago. They got kind of a cool story, and they kind of got rolling by the hippies. The hippies in the 60s were coming and buying bags of rice for their commune because they're so the old man Lindbergh he wasn't a hippie, but he liked doing stuff natural. And the hippies, it kind of made him take off, It's kind of a neat story, yeah.
There used to be a bunch of communes in California. Up where you used to live, there's communes.
Oh, yeah. There's Ananda. It's still up there. There's one up off in North San Juan, yeah.
There's still that winemaking commune up there, too.
Really? Winemaking?
Yeah. I won't mention it on a podcast. Yeah. It has a bit of a mixed reputation.
Sharon went to a summer camp at one of them places, and we thought, oh, cool, it's right here in our town. I grew up in Grass Valley, and it's right here out in Nevada City. Oh, they're doing things off Quaker values. Well, that's good. Quakers live clean living. That's good to send a little girl to camp like that. They were fucking, it was like a slave labor camp. She was, and all they fed him was like freaking rice. She said it was the worst time free of her labor. Life. You're paying, you know, $800 to send your kid to a freaking slave camp for a week. And she's starving. Like, she's calling like, all right, I'm tired, ready to get picked up. I was like, geez, this place is freaking horrible. Yeah. Yeah. And seriously, all they fed him was rice.
And they made him work all day?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a scam.
No, it was a complete scam, man. And, yeah, and after that, she only went to the CWA camps and had a little bit more kids, kind of her mindset, too. She had a blast down there at Grizzly Island.
Those camps are cool.
They are. Yeah, your kids that went to them.
Yeah, my daughter went to the one at Grizzly Ranch, where we're going to be here on June 1st.
June 1st, we'll be out there. We recommend, if you get the time, you'll probably be busy, but if you do, you might want to shoot down there.
Sure.
Going to be a cool little event down there. It's called Marsh Days. Yep. At the CWA property, and they're going to have vendors and booths. And well, it's a little short notice, but hell, you could even set up a little booth. And
yeah, plus.
You know. That'd be something you'd be interested to. You would definitely be preaching to your crowd, because a lot of people would be, oh, gosh, you do this? So, I don't know. Might make if you got any cards or anything, send them with us. We'll at least throw them on our table when we go down there. So
we just rebranded, but I got my old cards and everything. All the information is still good. So
we run across all kinds of people, and we love what you're doing. So any way we can help, we'll definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But we'll be giving you a call soon, maybe.
Yeah,
March 30th.
I hope so. I'm feeling good about it. We keep this weather up, and it ain't below freezing like it was last year.
We're gonna take them to the KC to get them cleaned.
Yeah. There's a bird cleaning place in Gridley, a bar. It's kind of cool.
And he told me they'll do turkeys. I've never heard of a place that does turkeys. I'm like, I'd love to take you a turkey.
What's that fruit stand there by the river off of 99 south of Yuba?
Yeah, they don't do it anymore.
They left. Yeah, they used to do it, turkeys and ducks.
The duck shack pulled out, last year?
Do they still have the fruit stand? There's no duck cleaner?
I don't know.
I think it's all the way shut down.
It could be. I know Mason used to take
birds. Yeah, he was buddies with him in there. Mason was in there all the time.
I took a couple birds there.
I did, too. They were cool.
Now I've been taking them to Tony's fruit stand off 70.
Now, where's that at? That's across from...
It's just Ramirez in 70. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I took some birds there. They did a good job.
If I take them to clean, I'll take them to Casey. They're kind of pricey, though, man. I mean, I want to say it's $8 a bird or something.
That's I think once we get set up, we're going to have like a once a month bird day. You bring in your birds and we'll do like $5 a bird.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people call about chickens too. Nobody wants to clean their chickens, and you know, they got 50 of them.
I mean, there's money to be made.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one. I was in there one night when a guide came in, and they dropped off like 80 specks.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, man, these guys, they went home, everything's cleaned. I see them when they're leaving. Yep, there ain't a bird here, we're good to go. And then they leave, and 20 minutes later, here comes friggin' High Five Guide Service. We got 80 specks here. So, that's another thing, kind of a diner. Now that Broadway Bait and Tackle shut down, they used to clean birds.
Right. Yep.
I don't think, is there anywhere in Sacramento you know of?
I don't. There used to be people, you know, they come and go.
Yeah.
Just a flash in the pan every year. There's a few here, and then they're gone the next year. And it's a lot of work. Birds are a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and there's a lot of regulations to follow.
Right.
You know, and old Chucky, I never heard any more from that little creep. The guy who worked for Stafford, he was doing it in the town of Sutter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he said he wasn't on social media or something, but I was wanting to give him some plugs, that kid.
Yeah.
That kid's living life right, man. He friggin', anything duck hunting related, he does for money. Pick up decoys, put out decoys, brush up blinds, clean ducks. He guides his whole life. He lives on a duck club. I mean, he probably ain't getting rich, but he is living the life, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Interesting kid. As long as he keep his gun under control, he lost his gun on the way to.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I think it's gonna be. I'm stoked to make the connection though, Ryan, because there's we were talking before the podcast about how, you know, it's getting kind of hard to actually find a place that'll work birds for you, process them. You know, there's cleaning places. There's still plenty of, you know, not as much, but there's still that, but you know, a lot of guys just looking to make sausage. And what you do is you're doing more than snack sticks and sausage. You're doing all kinds of cool stuff.
Right. Usually I won't even take requests. I'll just evaluate what you have and I'll do what's best for that.
That's cool.
Oh, that's cool. Right.
Or I'll do a little consultation and see, you know, how you guys eat.
Yeah, what do you
what's
like?
Going to be best for your, you know, weekly stuff. I mean, a lot of my customers are sending their kids to school with lunch meat made out of wild game.
That's cool. Know.
Yeah.
That's cool.
People don't, you know what? Sometimes I do that. Like when I want to eat something, right? You just go to a restaurant. You're like, oh, tell me what you like.
Yeah.
Give me that. You know, right.
Sometimes
like,
you know better than the consumer. Right? Yeah.
Well, sometimes you don't want to make a choice.
Yeah.
Right. That too. And a lot of people ask, well, you know, what do you do different? I start talking about it and they have no idea what I'm talking about. So
that's like us. We're idiots. Right. We don't know nothing.
Well, I mean, I do all these cuts they've never heard of on, you know, like on a cow. There's a lot of cuts, you know. If you're South American, European, whatever, there's different cuts. And, you know, I start talking about what I can do, and they're just staring at me.
I'll just do this.
So it's just easier for me to go, you know, how many people in your family, how big a portions do you cook, and what do you guys like? And then I'll just go off of that, and usually pretty amazed every time, you know, they start sorting through their box.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
I didn't know you could do this with that, you know, and it's so easy to cook. And
that's cool. So you pretty much will take any wild game in, though, right?
Deer? Yeah, I'll take any meat pretty much, you know, as long as it's legal.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Yeah, he's a skunk, possum.
Yeah.
Possum, raccoon,
rats.
You know. tree rats, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, sure.
That's cool. I didn't have a need for a butcher for my deer this year that never got shot, but there's always next year. Actually, I'm not deer hunting this year.
No.
I'm going to put in for my tag, but I'm not.
No more filthy mule, huh?
No. Yeah, I had a X-Zone tag. It took me like 6 years to draw, and it fucking didn't shoot nothing. Covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
It was bad up there. Their fires have devastated everything up there.
Right.
And we covered some ground. The guy I went with he's a really good deer hunter. He's got all the high-tech glass and equipment, and he'll spot a deer. I mean, take me 10 minutes after he's identified. Well, I guess you're right. That is a deer, you know. And it wasn't in the card for me this year. Not because of lack of effort, but, because I lost my butcher that I used to have in Auburn. So, if I ever shoot a deer again, you'll be the guy I'm calling.
Where'd you go in Auburn, Longhorn?
No. Max Meats.
Max Meats.
It's just a guy at his house.
It's a pig farm?
It's not a pig farm. It's off of Wise Road, but it wasn't.
Okay.
I don't want to say it wasn't really like open to the public. I mean, it was. They did 4-H animals and stuff. And mm-hmm. then they did a lot. I mean, and they did out of state stuff too, but it wasn't really advertised. It was my buddy's grandpa. And then his dad was a butcher that worked at a supermarket. And then he would kind of just do that on the side on the weekend and stuff. So they weren't super high volume or nothing, but. They always did me well. Back in the day, I'd trade a 30-pack for cutting up a deer, you know, because they're like good friends, you know. But them days are gone. Now I'll be paying. But
you don't have good friends now.
Talking about, I got the best of friends. I was hanging out with them rich guys all last week, and that was great.
If my friends were in this van, we'd be going 100 miles an hour drunk.
Yep, I know. The guy all the way to Washington won't let me drink in the frickin'. We rented like an American Pickers van, and this guy will not let me have a beer on the ride to Washington.
That's all right. Next time I'm not soda? Driving. Oh, you're speaking his language now.
Yeah, zero road sodas for me. I was oppressed. I've never been that oppressed in my life.
Hey, we're going to Washington again, but I'm not driving this time. I'm not catching this heat. Do whatever you want next time.
Denying an alcoholic his vice. Yes. Oh, man, that was a fun time.
Pull over at a gas station. I need a beer.
Well, the worst thing is I had a friggin' Yeti 105 loaded down with 230 packs. Right in arm's reach, too. But I knew damn well I'd be in big trouble if I touched it.
Yeah. Do I need to pull this van over?
Exactly, yeah. Even the guide felt sorry for me when I was crying to the guide we were hunting with about it. And he's like, he really won't let me. No, I'm dead serious. He drove me in his truck up to the lodge to get me beer. He felt so bad for me.
I need to help this guy.
Yeah. You ever done any out-of-state hunting at all?
No. Well, a little birds out in Iowa. You know, a family farm. You know, pheasant, quail, but not too much.
Yeah.
Mostly, it's a little fossil hunting out in Wyoming.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got some fish and whatnot. And
that's cool.
Yeah, crocodile shit. And
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. I was moving a locomotive out there to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I had some time.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
So what, you just go out in the friggin' prairie or what?
There's a few dig sites you can do for like $45 for like 2 hours or whatnot, and you'll get boxes full. Yeah, and they got saws out there. You can cut it up, make it look pretty. And
so they had crocodiles there?
There used to be, to be a big lake before a bunch of volcanic eruptions. Yeah. So you'll see the Green River fish is like the most common fossils because it was like a prehistoric herring that lived in that lake. And you'll get tons of those and palm leaves and...
That's pretty cool.
Stingrays and crayfish and turtles and all sorts of stuff. It used to look like Florida and Wyoming once upon a time. Wow.
Crazy how different stuff was. Yeah.
You go on this cattle ranch and you drive 8 miles down this just rocky shit road. And, they got a quarry on the side of a cliff and they just lay out boulders for you to split apart.
Really?
Pretty cool.
It's pretty smart of them. Good way to make some money.
That rancher's making some good money.
That's cool. So fish, do you do anything with fish?
Yeah, I get tuna from San Diego, bluefin tuna, and Dorado, all the good stuff. I'll just clean it up real nice, do ice water bath, and I'll pack it up well, and I can do some sushi. My freezer gets commercial grade, so I do halibut sashimi.
You know what? That just reminded me. It's not fish. But what about sea ducks?
Sea ducks? I've never done any.
We're going to have a pile of them for you.
Hey, yeah.
I don't know if you can make a friggin' scoter taste any good.
Oh, challenge accepted.
This will be fun.
I haven't failed yet on anything, so.
This will be interesting.
Yeah, this will be real interesting.
November 7th, Full Plume Photo has invited us to go out with, Golden State Guide Service?
Yeah.
Great people. She's also a fisherman. What, Melinda's her name?
Yeah.
Great. I haven't met the Melinda personally, but it seemed like great gals. I know Jen is a Full Plume gal, and we're going out on a sea duck hunt. Well, I guess you call it sea duck hunt. We'll shoot some divers too, I'm sure, but out in the bay. So that ought to be fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been kind of in the back of my mind wondering, like, what are we going to do with these birds? I don't want to just freaking, like, make a bunch of
sticks.
Yeah.
Because they're not, divers aren't very good most of the time,
So
this will be a good challenge.
Yeah, bring it in.
You've got some time to research. It ain't going to be until November.
I had a neighbor from, he lived in Louisiana and Texas, and all he ate was seabirds. So
really?
Right. So I got some things going in my head already.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. That'll be great.
Well, from the sounds of it, we're going to come back with something.
That'd be great. We can, as long as we can hit them. I guess they're tough to bring down. They're big, thick skinned, and cleaning them is hell.
Well, we'll use, I'll give you some Rios.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was dead eye with them friggin' Rios, wasn't I?
Yeah. I freaking hate those things.
Maybe we'll do that. Come back and see what you can do with a scotter or scooter. What do they call them?
Scooter.
Scooter.
Scooter, yeah.
Yeah, do another podcast. That'd be kind of
sure,
neat.
Yeah.
Do that
in the coots.
Scooter or coot edible. That'd be kind of
I think I have more faith in the sea ducks than the coot.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Who was I talking? I talked to so many people I forget, but there was one guy. There was this Filipino guy would hang out at the refuge and ask people to bring him coots. And he'd take, the limit is 25 on him.
Right.
And he would go, and the one guy's finally like, he's like, come over to my house. Come over, I'll show you. And he said they had like this big deal in their kitchen, and they would cook up like this huge vat of coot, and he said it was awesome.
Yeah. My wife's Filipino, so I get a lot of, I put a lot of the Filipino stuff into my food, and they know how to make stuff taste good. And I, working in the feed store in Rio Linda, one of my coworkers was Hmong, and they hunt.
They're big hunters.
Yeah, they would scald squirrels with skin on and then fry them up whole with lemongrass in the wok, and it was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, squirrel skin.
Huh.
That's
crispy
cool.
Squirrel skin.
I love that. That stuff always interests me, how different cultures cook it and make things that to us would be horrible, but they put whatever seasoning on it that makes it edible,
Right,
not just edible, delicious, Yeah, I find myself, the older I get, getting so interested in, different cultures and not just their food, their, everything. It's kind of neat,
Yeah. And we got it all here in Sac.
You know? We got
just
everything.
Tapping into it now.
Yeah.
We got a little Saigon in South Sac. There's some really cool stuff down there. Those Asian markets.
Oh,
got
really?
I go there for a lot of my stuff. You just take a weekend and go picking around those stores. You find some cool stuff.
That would be kind of cool. I had no idea.
Yeah. I'll take you down there if you want. We can go have a eating day and just eat here and there and shop around. Some of the best, they got live fish, crabs, best priced in town. You know, the best seafood is done. Seafood City has some of the best fish you can get, and they'll fry it for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can get a huge, 5-pound fish. They'll clean it and fry it. Costs you $4.50.
Wow.
So,
because I love fish.
Yeah.
I would definitely be down for
as long
that.
As you know how to pick them. You know.
Yeah.
Fresh eyes and gills, and you're good to go. So.
Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah, Robert's I'm not looking much at, of a fish guy.
No, and you know what? I've broken my promise on catching a striper this year. Well, not promise. I guess I was challenged. No, I mean, we were fishing. We didn't catch shit.
We didn't try.
Yeah, we didn't really try. We were mostly just being outside.
It was getting too late at night, and we needed to do the podcast. No, this is far from over, Robert. You're catching. he hates fishing with a passion.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I used to spearfish, because that's hunting. But dude, sitting there with the pole all day, if I'm not catching, I get a little.
See, I would do the bow hunting or the bow fishing.
Yeah, we're going to do that with
that Ryan and Jeremy want to do. Yeah.
I used to do that in Nelson Slough too for the carp,
That's what they're shooting, carp.
Yeah. Carp and goldfish.
Yeah. Those giant goldfish are pretty. Yeah.
They have.
They don't taste
LED.
Bad if you.
Really?
No, yeah, I'll steam them or simmer them, and then I'll break it up and make little like crab cakes kind of thing. And
really?
You get them real crispy. It's nothing better. So
that's pretty funny. Goldfish. Wow. that's awesome.
Yeah, you can eat all the problems out here.
Exactly. That's good, man. I love seeing things not go to waste.
I was looking to see what kind of diver ducks they have in San Francisco.
I know that they
Harlequin. Possibly.
I don't think we're going to get lucky enough to shoot one.
That'd be
cool. That's like a trophy bird. I don't know. I doubt
but
that.
But the surf scoters.
Look on Melinda's page.
Ring necks. Scalp.
Yeah.
Buffalo head.
There's what are a lot of the golden eyes. I know they shoot a ton of golden eyes. But it looks like a fun hunt. And then I'm very curious to see what you do with it.
Yeah, no, this is going to be cool. This
me
be
too.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a long time till that, but I can't hardly wait. That's going to be so much fun.
I mean, you think a long time, but can you? I mean, shoot, man, we're halfway through March.
Yeah, no, you're right. Time flies, man. You're going to be dead before you know it. So,
right.
I still got a whole summer to enjoy.
You sooner than me, buddy.
You never know.
No.
My,
Are you kidding me? You're unkillable, man. I've seen you try multiple times.
It sure seems that way sometimes. I wake up some mornings and think, how the hell did I survive that? But, we're getting about an hour here, and I'm getting kind of hungry again, Robert. How about you?
Yeah, no, this is cool.
Snag. You got anything else you want to add before we get off here?
I think that about sums it up, but, I'm open to taking anything you guys got, and I'll make the best out of it.
How can folks contact you?
So Instagram, the Coughlin's Craft Butchery, and then I'll give you guys some cards. My phone number is 916-300-0152, so just give me a call, and we'll talk. Whatever you got, I'm not going to say yes right away, but... Yeah. I get guys bringing in carcass covered in crap and, or it's rocks and dirt and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not going to contaminate other people's meat. So you got to bring me clean stuff. Do a good job.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But, if you do a good job, I'll do a good job.
No, I'm excited to see. I recommend all you guys listen and follow him on Instagram and you can check him out. You're going to have to go down and see his place once he gets rolling.
Thinking
May with that. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. He'll be nice and hot by then.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for hot. I like summertime, man. That don't bother me, so I'm ready.
Right. And if you only got a few ducks, find a buddy and pull your ducks together and, bring me, 40, 50 pounds is usually a good batch. I can do a few things with that. But,
okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. Just get a group of guys together.
That's good to know.
I get a lot of cops at the PD. Everybody that hunts there will put it together and bring it to me. And,
We have a surprising number of cops that listen to this show.
Yeah.
And we've had many cops on this show.
That's right.
Yeah. For me being an outlaw half of my life, I sure get along with a good guy.
No, we got a thin blue line sticker on the back of your truck now.
Yeah. That's why we're going to get out a DUI card. Unfortunately, I don't think that works. I asked them if they said that doesn't exist. But. Oh, one small note for all you supporting my drunkard suffrage movement. I hear there's a push to lower it from 0.08 to 0.05. And I recommend everybody write their local congressman about this outrageous new
attack on freedom.
Yes, attack on freedom. I mean, really, 0.05? What do you get a friggin' ounce of beer and then got a what?
Dude, you sound like that video that was going viral. This is a damn communist country.
Yeah, I guess Hawaii's got it. It's rolling through the legislature in Hawaii.
So with this, with all these technologies with the cars, right? Eventually, they're just going to either make it full self-driving, and then it won't be an issue.
Well, they're
talking
about installing breathalyzers from the factory for everybody. That's already like in the works.
Oh, great. I'm going to get way more late night calls from you, Robert.
Come blow in my truck.
I need you. I need your help.
No, I think I will just continue to be replacing motors in that Chevrolet till the end of the time.
Oh, there you go.
Before I drive a friggin' communist vehicle with a breathalyzer installed. But so I guess that's it. And next week is Freedom Fighters Banquet. I hope all you that got tickets, we're going to see you there. We got a huge group of people. Some of the gals from the Veterans Hunt are coming up to it.
Our newest Duck Club member is going to be
there. Our newest, yep, Salinas Valley Outdoors, Holmes. He's going to be there. Ivan himself will be there, I'm sure, cracking jokes. I hope you guys got tickets because it's sold out, but that's going to be a blast. Because we have an extremely large group of friends and listeners, and you didn't get to meet any of those gals down there, but three of them are coming up. They got an Airbnb.
Oh, cool.
And one of them Marine vet, and I think two Army gals. Or no, Navy. One's Navy, one's Marines, and one's Army. And one's gals come all the way up from Southern California. Very nice gals, new, or one of them really new into hunting. Be nice for you and your wife to meet these people. You know, they were on the podcast. And we're going to have a blast. Everybody's going to be there, so...
Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too. So
I'm gonna drink a lot of water that day.
Yeah, I probably won't.
Yeah. No, we know.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. It's been a blast. We're not gonna get out of your hair yet because we got more food to eat.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. And remember, rate and review. A couple of you guys have been doing good. We're getting up there, but I need you to write a review. Tell them how much you love us or how much you hate us, but freaking get off your ass and get it done. So thank you all. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.